Joining us now in studio is the superintendent of schools in Northfield, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure, Jeff. Always great to see you, and Happy New Year. It's our first show of the year.
Yeah. Have you had the first meeting of the year last night? The kids are back in school now. The students are all back, and we've got beautiful weather out now.
Yes.
We're about 36 hours away from the bottom dropping out, though. We haven't really had any weather delays or anything going on. Possibility of that happening on Thursday, and I'm sure the school personnel have been through the motions, and you have a system down. How's that going for you?
No, I think that it goes about as well as it can, as we were talking off air about Minnesota in the winter. And a couple of key things for folks to know that, you know, we've actually been watching the storm for several days now. The National Weather Service out of Chanhassen really does a very good job of informing public officials about a potential snowfall. Now, of course, sometimes that's correct and sometimes it's not. This storm has taken on a number of different costumes, if you will, over the past few days. And now, you know, they're getting a higher percentage of confidence in terms of at least the cold temperatures returning. Snowfall, as we just heard your weather person say, not exactly quite confident yet. We've seen things from 1 to 2 to 4 to 7. But, you know, it's not only snow that would ever cause us to delay or close school. It would be a combination of snow that where the roads aren't passable, visibility, other road conditions. Mm-hmm. And this one on Thursday just is going to be interesting. We'll be up at 4 in the morning. Jenna Dardis, Barb Moore, and I from the bus company and myself, we will get out and drive the roads at 4 a.m. I've got a southward trek that I run. We check the roads, and then we come back and we look at surrounding areas and additional forecasts, and we make a call. We are always balancing. Of course, student safety is paramount. We also know that a snow day really can disrupt family schedules and child care and those kinds of things. So we're always trying to make sure that we're safe while also balancing that we do live in Minnesota. Buses can get through quite a bit, but there's a number of factors that come into play when making that decision.
All right. We'll wait and see what happens by Thursday or Friday. Let's talk about last night. You had your first school board meeting of 2018. Memory serves, last time we talked to you, was it an open house that you had or were coming to? I may be out of my mind here. I've got a struggling with a cold myself, but what happened last night at the school board?
Sure. So first meeting of the year, we always start with the organizational board meeting, usually a relatively short meeting in terms of when officers are elected and some other standard beginning of the year business takes place. I'm happy to share that our Ford board officer positions will remain the same for 2018. So Julie Pritchard remains as our board chair, Ellen Iverson as our vice chair, Noel Stratmone as our clerk, and Rob Hardy will continue on as treasurer. And so we'll have the same officers this year that we had last year. And so we started with the organizational meeting, and then we moved into the regular meeting. And we had a couple of really great reports last night. As you know, we're one of only three school districts in the state who continue to authorize charter schools. And, you know, when folks at home read or listen to the national narrative about charter schools, you know, they will often hear some real disagreement or some problems between the local traditional public school and the charter school. You know, sometimes it's a battle over students. Sometimes there's questions about quality. But I encourage people to remember there's always a local condition. When there's a national story, there's a local condition. And our local condition about charter schools in Northfield could not be more different than the national conversation. Prairie Creek Community School and Arcadia Charter School, formerly known as RTEC, we have been their sponsor or authorizer, you know, for a long time, since the beginning, actually. They are two outstanding charter schools that really add a lot of depth to our public school community. People forget that charter schools are actually public schools under Minnesota law. When the charter school law was adopted back in 1991, it was intended to provide an innovative space for educators to try things and really have some freedom from some of the statewide rules in terms of implementing unique programs. And, you know, both Prairie Creek and Arcadia have a rich history of just being outstanding servants to the families that choose them as their educational option. They talked with us last night about the things going on in their school. Prairie Creek, based on a progressive format, an English progressive format, really focused last night on telling us about how they really emphasize play especially in the early years, and making sure how they understand that connects to academic development as time goes on. they are probably one of the leaders in the state on understanding how to integrate young children's play with academics, and they do a fantastic job. And of course, they've got that beautiful site out at Castle Rock where kids have a lot of options for outside play. They're very intentional. I think sometimes when people hear about play, they think it just, let's just take to the kids to the park and have a free-for-all. Well, Prairie Creek, actually, during the first 6 weeks of the school year, the older students and the teachers have a controlled or a guided, what they call, recess, where students are taught games to play, they are taught songs, they are taught how to interact on the playground. The older students are taught how to do some peer mediation and intervene when the natural disputes happen on the playground. So very intentional about how they integrate play with academics, and so really a great report from Prairie Creek last night to the school board. And then Arcadia is part of the report again. Arcadia, as students in 6th through 12th grade, they really have seemed to achieve a balance between emphasizing their core and their origination around an arts and technology school with the kind of academic performance that students need as they're entering college. And so they've got their big Arts for Martin presentation coming up. That's a wonderful gift to the community. We're very proud to authorize these two charter schools, and they do an excellent job.
Yeah, we had some folks from Arcadia in yesterday to talk about all the events they have, including, well, last night's open house. They had the open house.
They had the open house. Yes, you're right.
So, once again, Superintendent Hillman is with us from the Northfield School District. What else was happened at the school board meeting last night?
So our Director of Teaching and Learning, Mary Hansen, gave a report on our literacy implementation. And so coming in the fall of 2018, we'll be implementing a new reading curriculum at our elementary schools, grades K through 5. This process, and I think sometimes people don't necessarily have quite an understanding of what it takes to implement something like a new curriculum in a school district like ours. We actually started the planning for that last summer. Actually, even last spring, we brought approximately 30 teachers from across our elementary schools together to talk about literacy, to look at the data in terms of what do our assessments tell us about how students are reading and their proficiency levels within our district. They talked about their beliefs in teaching reading. What are the strong beliefs that our teachers have? We have some outstanding teachers in our school district, so capturing that, aligning those beliefs was really important. And then determining what is the best way that we can provide enough consistency in teaching reading, which is a foundational skill. It's the skill that begets so many other skills down a student's academic line. So they actually did review several curriculum options, and they did choose to go one with, it's called Collaborative Classroom, and it's a nonprofit company heavily focused on having authentic children's literature in the intermediate and upper grades, or upper intermediate grades, and really focused on making sure there's ongoing teacher professional development. So teaching reading is a new adventure every year for our staff, because not every child comes with the exact portfolio that the children that they taught last year did. So teachers need to have a variety of strategies to make sure that they can reach every child. Our goal is that every child read proficiently by the end of third grade. That's a touchstone, that's a benchmark, because there's just a significant amount of research that says, you know, students who read proficiently by the end of third grade are on track. It doesn't mean that if you're not reading proficiently at the end of third grade that all is lost. In fact, many children learn to read at very different times. But we know that if we can get the bulk of children reading proficiently by the end of third grade, their chances for success, academic success down the line, are substantial. So we're implementing this fall, but the materials for next year have actually already arrived. We actually have training and professional development planned for our teachers starting in January. We're very pleased to provide this long runway to make sure that our staff feel well prepared, because this is a major change in elementary schools. You know, about 90 minutes a day is spent on literacy. So when you think about playing literacy for 90 minutes for five-year-olds, it takes a little bit of effort.
No doubt. Now, when you do start a new curriculum like that, where do you get it? Is that custom made within the Northfield School District? Do you have companies that have the different type of what used to be textbooks, but now I guess it's software programs? Are there any type of guidelines? Where does this come from?
So there are a number of different companies that obviously create curriculum based upon the Minnesota State Standards. Minnesota has a set of academic standards that we're required to implement and make sure that our students have mastered, or do our best to make sure that our students have mastered. So there's a number of different companies. Our teaching and learning department, along with our literacy coaches, did an initial analysis of the field. And, you know, the pieces we have to say is that many of those companies are for-profit companies. One of the things that was really attractive about Collaborative Classroom is it's a nonprofit, And so there's just a different flavor. Their focus is really on making sure that the professional development that happens around reading within the school district along with the materials are something that can be sustainable. So we turn over some of our staff every year, not a ton, but every year we need to make sure that our new teachers have the same training to implement our curriculum as any other teacher have had. So how do we make sure that we can sustain that so that our own people are experts, that they can teach their new peers, and we can have that financial stewardship of that we're not continuously having to invest in that paid training from a company over time. So a number of companies were reviewed in this, and Collaborative Classroom was the one that was selected. There are some districts that will try to write their own curriculum, and that depends on the scale. What we've learned is that our teachers will always take the curriculum that we have and adapt it. It's a framework, not a script. And mm-hmm. So what we want to have with a core curriculum like reading is we want to have enough consistency where a student in Northfield Schools has a similar path to learning reading. And then the autonomy of our teachers in our classroom, we have to trust them to be able to know their students and understand what strategies are going to work with their students that year. So we're looking for what I call that instructional sweet spot. We want to have enough of materials and curriculum that are laid out to meet the standards that Minnesota has set forward so that our students can progress toward proficiency, and then hand that off and trust our professional teaching staff and give them the autonomy to make some instructional decisions in the classroom based upon the children in front of them. And it is still books, especially at the younger levels, mm-hmm. Jeff. There is a hybrid, there's more and more of technology feel to it. In fact, as part of our literacy implementation this year, we actually implemented some online literacy curricula that students in grades 1 through 7 on average work with about 20 minutes a day, 4 days a week. It can provide those students with content, reading content, at their exact reading level. So you could have a room of 25 students or 30 students all using the program, all in very different spots. You could have some students working 3 grade levels ahead. Mm-hmm. Some students may be working a grade level or 2 behind. That's a part of the approach, because we want to make sure that kids get that specialized instruction, that specialized content that's very hard to do as a human being, but our online literacy curricula can do it. It's part of the solution. It isn't the entire solution, but one of the things that we're very excited about with the Collaborative Classroom are these authentic children's literature that many of the stories are books that you could check out of the library.
Interesting. That's really fascinating. Once again, Matt Hillman is our guest, who is the superintendent of schools in Northfield School District. We're talking about last night's school board meeting, the first one of 2018. What else happened?
Well, you know, actually, Jeff, we had those were the two main presentations last evening. The board did approve a very minor 2/10, which is 1 class period increase at our high school for an English language learner's instructor. We have some students who have what's called, the state acronym is SLIFE, which basically means that these are...
we do need to have acronyms.
Of course. and it's students with limited and interrupted formal education. So these are cases where we may have some students who, for whatever circumstances, they were new to our country in the last couple of years and new to our district and also new to the United States. Due to the circumstances in their home country, it could be war, it could be famine, it could be a number of things, you know, did not have a consistent educational opportunity. So it could be that due to circumstances in their home country, their public school system or their school system may have not been available to them for a period of time. So we haven't had a tremendous number of these students, but we had some teachers at the high school who recognized this, that not only were students learning English, but they were also having some issues in mathematics because of this interrupted education. So we need to provide some specialized instruction there. And it was above what we had approved in the budget. And so when we talk about staffing, we always ask the board for approval on any additional staffing beyond what we plan. So it's very minor in terms of overall, but at the same time, we think it's important to provide students that particular service that they need.
And that... very important. You don't think of, or I think the average person does not think of somebody like a student who comes in from another country that, hey, maybe they haven't. Maybe school's not a regular thing there. When they do that, do they stay in the same grade level with the same age group? Do you give them additional tutoring? Or how is that accounted for?
You know, so there's a number of services that are provided. Mm-hmm. Of course, we want to make sure that they are placed with their same age peers, right? Because school is significantly about academics, but it's also about social development. And so trying to make sure that students are with same-age peers, especially as they're new to country, that's very important. And so there's a number of different services that are provided, especially English language learning. That's the very specific piece. And then we have a number of other services that serve students who struggle in general. And in this case, one of those particular services identified another set of special criteria. And if you think about it, you know, if you are coming to the United States from a nation where maybe there's been civil war or maybe there's been a famine, and you've had to leave your home. Think about the people living here in our community, and you, in the next few months, had to leave your home. And you end up in a refugee camp to be able to just have some basic services. And then you take the risk and travel, in some cases, thousands of miles mm-hmm. to a place that you've never seen that has a very different climate. There's a language that you don't speak, very different customs. And then we ask you to do algebra.
Very difficult. Yeah.
So, you know, the fact is that we are very serious about providing every student what they need, and that's very different for different kids. It doesn't mean that it's equal. What it means we try to be is providing them, each student, what they need, and that's what we endeavor for. We're not always perfect at it. In fact, we fall short more often than we would like to admit, but we have to admit it in order to make sure that we serve students. And mm-hmm. so, again, 2/10 is literally one class period, but you know, for these students, it's going to make a significant difference. So we're really appreciative of Northfield High School and the intervention programs that they've put into place to be able to make sure that they can catch this kind of thing early so we can provide students with those kinds of specific instructional resources that they need.
All right. Once again, Matt Hillman with us, Superintendent of Schools. Anything else while we have you here?
You know, one final thing. I had mm-hmm. a chance. I was invited. Anna Weber is a junior at a high school, and she and Virginia Kesmerick from the YMCA had invited me to come up to the YMCA's Youth in Government program last weekend. And if people have a chance to read about this, it is phenomenal. It's a 4-day government simulation. About 1,500 students in 8th through 12th grade throughout Minnesota attended this. Roughly 32 Northfield students between Northfield Middle School, Northfield High School, and Arcadia Charter School attended. And at the end of the last year's what they call model assembly, they elected statewide officers for this year. So there was a governor, and there's a lieutenant governor, and there's a secretary of state. There's a press secretary. There's a chief of staff. I got to observe students at the Capitol simulating the Senate. There were senators who had been elected. There were House of Representatives members who had been elected, drafting legislation, debating legislation, passing legislation. Each time that the model assembly meets, they infuse a statewide emergency, and in this case, there was a statewide emergency with agriculture regarding some kind of herbicide or pesticide. I heard it said a couple of different ways because, again, mm-hmm. students are learning and how that was affecting other farmers' fields, and they were trying to determine what was the way that they could, you know, stop this issue and try to help the agricultural community recover from this unintended consequence. They have a Supreme Court that actually hears cases and rules on it. We talked a lot this past fall about hands-on learning and how can we provide students that real-world experience. I was very impressed with the Youth in Government program that the YMCA puts on because this is exactly one of the kinds of things that we're talking about. Students taking that classroom knowledge that they have and then applying it in a novel situation, and there's nothing more novel than governing. And I actually believe that we should make it a rule that everyone who's in the Minnesota legislature should go and observe these kids, because the civil discourse that happened, despite there being very clear differences in opinion, I think that our elected leaders could learn a lot from these students in terms of how they acted in governing.
Wonderful, yeah. That's what a good experience. We had one of the those representatives on the air yesterday with Arcadia, Logan
awesome.
Wells.
Yeah.
So I had a wonderful experience. Really liked it. We're out of time, but
always
Superintendent
do, yeah.
Matt Hillman, thank you very much for coming in. We certainly appreciate it. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
And I hope you feel better, Jeff. Thanks
All right,
so much.
Thank you. Once again, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman of the Northfield School District.